Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Thursday afternoon, everyone. I'm Steve Jones. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. That's 800-609-9484. Or visit online at REWfinancial.com. We're also here at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline is open today at 1-800-795-9565. That's powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com. And, of course, you know darn well at some point today we'll be using that Lenape Solar Hotline to call out, because I'm going to be talking with my counterpart from Illinois, Brian Barnhart, the voice on the Illini Radio Network, is going to join us at 3:35 today to get us up to date on everything that's happening with Illinois football. They're off to a 2-2 start as well. So we have a lot coming up today. And don't forget, Bill Lane coming up tonight from Damon's from 6:05 to 7 o'clock on the Penn State Football Show, also at WK. With Above the Noise, here's Dan Patrick.
Everything is on sale
at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln.
Everything is on sale.
And we mean everything.
New, used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. All priced at blowout pricing for this once-in-a-lifetime sale. Every one of the stylish, most fuel-efficient cars in America discounted to sell.
Sell. Sell.
Check it out. A 40 MPG Elantra, Elantra Coupe, and Elantra GT. All priced under 20 grand.
Not bad for being the 2012 North American Car of the Year.
Also, the sporty Veloster, priced under 20 grand. And if that doesn't blow your mind, how about the beautiful Sonata, also available at around 20,000 bucks? And if you're looking for a used car, we've got hundreds to choose from,
all at the lowest prices of the year.
So if you're in the market or even thinking about it, there is only one place to stop.
One place to stop.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Because right now,
everything is on sale.
And we mean everything.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Businesses are like plants. They need exposure to the light to help them grow. If your business isn't getting out there, you need the kind of exposure only the light of the Central PA Chamber of Commerce provides. They offer the perfect blend of small-town hospitality and cutting-edge sophistication. They have many groups to promote and grow their member businesses, like business-to-business lead generator and events like the Business After Hours Grand Expo. Call the Central PA Chamber of Commerce at 742-7321 and let Bruce Smith, TJ Ikey, or Maria call. Work with you to help your business grow.
Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. Guibel REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. As always, on top of it. Kevin, welcome. Great to have you on the show.
Wonderful to be here.
All right, let's talk referees first.
Yay, they're back.
In a shocking development, one side wanted 10, the other side wanted hockey league.
Love Ed Hockey League.
Now I'm going to tell you why Ed Hockey League is going to be the MVP. 6 weeks, Ed Hockey League has organized a series of quizzes and conference calls among the NFL referees. Between 90 and 110 officials, on the average, have been on these conference calls with the NFL referees.
Now, these are the are these regular referees
that
are on this conference?
The regular referees. Okay. These are the regular referees. Okay? So they have been on these conference calls every Tuesday for the last 6 weeks. And he has sent out quizzes through email. They've then reviewed them. They've dealt with the new rules or the 21 that ordered this. And because he wanted to be preemptive in all of this, he was the one that really is possible because of what he wanted. That
I said yesterday, it has
tells you about the wisdom of the officials that between 90 and 110 of them, and there are 121 that happen to be in the NFL RA. When you times you have to go through something like that in the short term for the right agreement for the long term. He did say that he thought that an agreement would take place even without what happened in Baltimore and even with what even though it didn't happen what happened in Seattle.
I think he's covering it up there.
Well, he probably is. The new agreement, he said, will improve officiating week in and week out, reducing similar mistakes in the future and making the strains of the last 3 weeks worthwhile. He says, you're always worried about the short-term impact on your brand and the long-term impact on the brand. Obviously, he says, this has gotten a lot of attention, and it has not been positive. It's something that you have to fight through and get to the long term. So once the Referees Association, now again, the referees tonight are working because they have a tentative deal. They have not ratified the deal. They will do that tomorrow and Saturday. He says, once the Referees Association ratifies its new 8-year labor agreement with the NFL on Saturday, the 121 officials will receive a nice bonus. According to a source, the NFL has installed a $2.5 million ratification bonus in the deal. After the deal is voted on, which is expected to happen in Dallas Saturday, the NFL is expected to give the NFLRA a check for $2.5 million. The ratification bonus is to be distributed to the 121 members of the association as it sees fit. The $2.5 million will ease the loss of 4 preseason and 3 regular season game checks to the officials. In a season, members of crews are supposed to officiate 19 games when it's all said and done. So there's a $2.5 million ratification bonus in here. Not only that, but they did come to an agreement on the pension part of it. And it's close to what we had talked about earlier, that those on the current pension plan from the previous agreement that our friend Bill Carollo, who's been on our show before, negotiated for the NFLRA in 2001, and Bill's a great guy to deal with. In fact, I'll give you just a quick deal on that. I mean, I don't think your fans don't realize there actually is a command center at the Big Ten. If I see a call on the field and during a commercial break, I'm not sure what the justification was for the call, I can actually call Bill Carollo in the command center, and he'll tell me what the justification is. So I get it right on the air.
Wow. You had that before Fox had theirs.
Right. But that's what we have. In fact, there was a conference call that we had, I want to say it was before the first game of the season. It was that Monday or Tuesday we were on a conference call, And they gave us, it's an 800 number into the command center. If I have any question about an official ruling on the field and as to what they saw, right, I can call the command center. Bill Corolla will talk to me, and he'll tell me, Steve, this is what they saw. This is why they called it.
That's a great little tidbit of information. And that's actually, it actually really benefits the Big Ten officials, because now you have an opportunity to explain maybe something that a fan wasn't understanding in the stands and yelling about. I've done that I don't know how many times as a fan myself.
Exactly. You just want to have the ability to get it right. And they want to keep that line of communication open between the officials and the announcers so that as we announce the game, we're not officiating the game. I think it's smart. I've never officiated the game on the air. It's just not my style. But if there's something I have a question about, usually if I have a question about something, and it's rare when I do, I will actually call him during the week. And he calls right back. He's terrific about that.
I've been rather lucky the last couple of years. Usually I have a PIAA evaluators or District 4 evaluators that actually are sitting next to us. So if there's something that I'm not quite sure about, and it happened a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, especially last week in the Lewisburg game, I could actually ask Roger more of the information or ask Buscar more of the more of what was going on and get an explanation and be able to bring that on the air, too. So I love that feature. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and Buscar knows more than anybody.
That he does.
I mean, he knows more than anybody. And, he and I developed a really nice friendship at the National Football Foundation dinner when the two of us were sitting together and just had a great time. And he's just a very, very intelligent guy. So, the NFL, of course, now you have the officials will be out there. There's going to be a lot of pressure on them. They have to get this doggone thing right now. Okay? They have to get this thing right. And that's going to be... everybody will be happy-go-lucky. It'll be kumbaya for a little while. But the second they get something wrong, it's like, the old guys would have done the same thing for less money.
So, they'll get a standing ovation for a few minutes, but miss one call, and that'll be over.
Right, and that's why Ed Hockley organized them the way they did. That's why he organized them the way he did.
But let me ask you this. From a fan standpoint, we've all sat back. I mean, I'm guilty of this. We've all sat back and go, come on, I could see that. How could you not see that? Now that we've seen the replacement officials struggle at this level, do we give the regular referees a little bit more respect than maybe we did before as fans?
Probably to a point. But again, what's really helped officiating, though, in today's day and age is instant replay. This is where Major League Baseball has had a major failing. They have not helped their umpires out with technology. In the NHL, they've helped out the referee and the linesman with technology because of goal cam. The NBA's done more and more with replay in terms of timing. Take the Celtics Heat game, the playoff game, game 5. Huge moment where the officials on the court, because it's bang, bang, okay, called the ball out on the Celtics. And it turned out the ball was actually off Haslam, and replay showed it. They got it right. And because they got it right, the Celtics won the game. Heat won the series, but the Celtics won that game. That was a case where replay made a huge difference in making sure that the right call was made. The NFL now, every touchdown is automatically reviewed. Every turnover is automatically reviewed. Plus, coaches have challenge. And, of course, in the final 2 minutes of a half or game, it goes upstairs automatically. Okay. Well, it helps them. In Major League Baseball, they get help on home runs. Really? Really?
Looked like it was over the fence to me.
I mean, really? That's what you get help with? Close call at first. Ball at whether it's fair or foul on the, in terms of the baseline. I mean, no. Brian Barnhart's the play-by-play voice of the Illinois Radio Network. He joins us after Sarah Bartlett and the news as we head to the bottom of the hour. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome. Great to have you with us. As we roll through, brought to you by our good friend, Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Or visit online at REWfinancial.com. We're at the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline. Being powered by Lenape Solar, go to LenapeSolar.com. Our number 1-800-795-9565. And joining us now in the Lenape Solar Hotline, my good friend Brian Barnhart. So let's get out there and had a chance to talk to him a little bit earlier today.
Barnhart, Brian, welcome. Great to have you on the show.
Hey, Steve. Great to be on with you.
All right. So you done serving hot dogs at the 75th anniversary there, the radio station?
Yeah, I handed out. I wore a little Menards, a little thing in front for ketchup and mustard, and handed out a couple hundred hot dogs in the last hour. So that was fun to meet our listeners and celebrate our station's birthday.
Yeah, that's great. I can't imagine Lauren Tate was anywhere near this.
You know, I know Ed Bond was. Ed loves to eat, so he's out there with the hot dogs right now. So,
well, are the listeners getting any with Ed out there?
Yeah, I'm sure that he's eating the, what do they call it, eating the profits.
He always does that. All right, let's get to your football team. Let's talk about the quarterback situation there. Nathan Schielhaus and Riley O'Toole. I mean, next level, O'Toole is the one that eventually has next level stuff. But how does that stand right now, and how has that played out for Tim Beckman this year?
Well, you know, it started, Steve, okay, because Schielhaus, they had some specific plays for Riley O'Toole. They're probably going to use him on occasion during the year because he's a very accurate quarterback. His senior year in high school, I forget, he threw for like 40 touchdowns or something and two interceptions. I mean, he's extremely accurate. He's the guy that, you know, the Peyton Manning rocket arm kind of quarterback, you know, that is, as you said, probably has the skill to be at the next level at some point if he can develop. But Nathan has been the guy the last couple of years. You guys have seen Nathan Schielhaus up close. He's run for a lot of yards against the Nittany Lions. But he injured his ankle in the second half of the Western Michigan game, and that kind of thrust Riley O'Toole in there. And then he struggled in the Arizona State game. Riley did. Nathan sat out the Arizona State game and the next game as well, then came back last week and looked rusty, and his ankle, you know, there was a reason why Tim Beckman didn't have him out there the previous 2 weeks is because he wasn't 100%, and I don't think he was 100% last week either. He just didn't have that elusive ability that he's known for, his cutting and his being able to make him a dual threat. And so he's been named the starter. You know, I expect him to start, but I think if he struggles, you know, I think you'll see Riley O'Toole, and you may see Riley anyway at some point. Just because he brings a little different dimension to the table. But it hasn't gone all quite as smoothly as Tim Beckman hoped, especially in the injury front on both sides of the ball.
Schielhaus has run for a total of 150 yards against Penn State in the last two games combined. His ability, when he is 100%, to add that dimension of run, how much does it actually help him as a passer when he has that dimension to run?
Yeah, well, it makes him much better because, you know, he doesn't have a great, great arm. He's stretched it out over the last couple of years. You know, he's come a long way since he was a freshman, but, you know, he's not a guy that's going to just, you know, throw it deep down the field on a repeated basis. So his running is what makes him more dangerous. He's very good at, you know, play action and faking the football and running it and keeping it and finding yardage, as you guys have discovered in the two games he's played against you. And, you know, I think it takes away from his, like I said, the dual threat nature of what he can do, because he's not the greatest passer in the world, but the running makes him that much more effective if he can be able to do both. And since he got injured in the first game of the year, he hasn't been able to do that. He hasn't played for 2 weeks.
Paul Langford was a really good defensive back here at Penn State, also a great track athlete as well, and then went on to 10 years in the NFL with the Miami Dolphins. His son, Ryan Langford, now is playing for Illinois. With A.J. Jenkins now in the NFL, what kind of threat has Ryan Langford become?
Well, he's not quite the threat that A.J. was. A.J. just had a knack. He and Shielhouse connected repeatedly last year. The total number of catches compared to what A.J. had to what the second leading receiver had was a huge chasm. I mean, in fact, some people thought, well, Nathan's relying on A.J. too much, but A.J. had that breakaway ability, which is obviously what got him in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers. But Langford is devout. He didn't even know how to catch a ball for a year or so. He had a touchdown against Michigan 2 years ago, then didn't have another one until the Western Michigan game, and he's got four now. He's leading our team in that category. But he's got good speed. He's really, you know, kind of become the leader of the receiving corps, if you will, just because, you know, he's been around longer than anybody else. And I don't know if he's quite at the level that A.J. Jenkins is, but he is a good threat. He's a great kid. You know, he's a guy they're counting on. And there's another guy they were also counting on, Darius Malines. And here's where the injury story comes into play again, is Darius Malines is a guy that they were counting on, too. And he's been hurt almost all this year. So that's put even more pressure on Langford and then a bunch of young receivers to try to make this offense work.
Give us an idea, Brian, of the injury situation on the offensive line and the domino effect it's had on the offense.
Well, it was a concern with Tim Beckman. I first met Tim Beckman. We met in his office, and we talked a little bit about the team. And he goes, Brian, my biggest concern is our depth. We don't have a lot of depth at really any position. There's a couple that we had a little more depth in. One that they were lacking depth in was the offensive line. And so in camp, they started moving guys around. Graham Posick has been our two-year starting center. Then they tried him at guard, and they tried him at tackle because we gave up a lot of sacks last year, the second half of the season. We just could not move the football, and part of it was the offensive line broke down. So they tried moving Graham around a little bit. Then he started the year at center. Then he got hurt. He missed two games. So that forced the backup center, Jake Feldmeyer, to step in. Now I expect Posick to be somewhere on the offensive line Saturday. And then Feldmeyer will still start because Hugh Thornton got banged up last week. So it's the kind of thing where Tim Beckman's had to constantly shuffle things around to try to make it work. And, you know, hopefully Hugh can come back at some point. But right now they just have had no continuity on the offensive line. And when Thornton went out the second half of last week's game, that made a big difference because then you had some guys with just very little experience on the line. And Louisiana Tech, which is not a great defensive team at all, were able to put pressure on our quarterback.
What kind of versatility do Donovan Young and Josh Ferguson give to the offense?
Well, they give it a lot because they both can catch passes. In fact, Young has already caught more passes. They've utilized him a lot more out of that. He already caught more passes this year than he caught all of last year. And then Ferguson is a guy that I know you like. You've seen on tape. He's very shifty. He had a great spring. He was hurt last year about the second game of the year, and he got a medical hardship. And they really liked him last year before he got hurt. And he can, in the open field and open space, he's really, really good. And that's why they use him on kickoffs and other things to try to get the ball in his hands. So you know, they bring some versatility without the deep threat that hasn't developed yet. Langford is maybe the closest thing to it. You know, they've had to rely more on short passes and dumping it out of the backfield and crossing guys over the middle, which was successful last week against Louisiana Tech early. And Ferguson's a really good player, but even he was hurt because he missed a game with a concussion that he suffered in the Arizona State game, the second game of the year. So the fact that he's been hurt has forced some other younger backs. Danny Ayula is another back that you might see at some point on Saturday. So, but Ferguson's a real key to the offense, too.
Evan Wilson's been hurt at tight end, but John Davis was already emerging last year. Give us a read on the dynamic at tight end between those two, if Wilson's even able to play.
Yeah, well, if I could have a dime for every time somebody asked about why don't we use the tight ends more, that's been a lament all the way back to Ron Turner's era. And for some reason, I don't know, we just haven't used them a lot. Now, Wilson had several catches last year, and we have missed him. Davis was a guy they really liked. Davis is kind of a hybrid, a combo. You can use him. They have lined him up in the backfield before. They can use him at tight end. They can do a lot of different things with him. They can use him as a receiver. So he's versatile enough to do all of that. And in the first game against Western Michigan, they used him on a lot of traps and just let him go right up the middle like a fullback. And and he was very effective that way. So, yeah, he's emerging. He's one of the future stars of the team. I mean, he's really a versatile guy that can do a lot of different things. And not only can he do a lot of things, but he does them really well.
I can assure you, Brian, that one phrase that you're not hearing in State College right now is, when are they going to use the tight ends at Penn State? You're not going to hear that statement here, I can tell you that.
Yeah, well, that's been a lament here for a long time. And I don't know, it's, you know, hopefully I think Tim Beckman is looking for some kind of offensive identity. I mean, Bill O'Brien comes in there, as you know, and he's coming from New England. He's got his philosophy. He's got his identity, probably establishing what he wants to do. And with Tim Beckman, I know he'd like to run a Toledo-style offense if you saw Toledo play. I mean, they were up and down, much like the Louisiana Tech or much like Arizona State, a high tempo. But he's right now with the injuries and on the front line and the quarterback, just haven't been able to kind of put in the tempo that he wants to put in yet. And so I think we're still searching for our offensive identity.
You mentioned the word tempo, Brian. Let's get to the defensive side. A lot of people felt going in that Illinois would have a very good front seven. What has tempo meant offensively against that front seven?
Well, it's forced them to, and that's another area where they don't have a lot of depth. They've got their front four, you know, with Spence, names you're familiar with, Foster. I know your center has been very high on those two guys, how tough they were. We don't have Merciless anymore, who's now in the NFL with Houston. You know, Buchanan's a very good player. But you get behind those guys, the guys behind them, Teitsma, Kennard, those guys have not played a lot. So they're a little bit thin there behind those two, but you throw in Jonathan Brown, game last year against several Big Ten teams. I think he had at least nine tackles in every Big Ten game last year. And, you know, the thing with this year has been we played two teams, one Arizona State with their new coach, Todd Graham. I mean, they just play a mile a minute. As fast as they can get to the line of scrimmage, the referee can barely get out of the way. And the first couple of series, first few plays, we, with a new defensive staff, we had half the team reading one guy's signals and the other half reading the other's. And we were, I mean, there were guys wide open. I mean, you or I maybe could have gotten open the way we were confused on defense. So they got it fixed as the game went on. But by that time, they were a little too far behind to try to mount a comeback. And so, and then we played Louisiana Tech, who is as good as I think some of the Boise State teams we've seen in recent years. They're just athletic. They're fast. They've got fifth-year seniors. And they just constantly put you in pressure points where, if they find an opening one-on-one, they're gonna cash it in. They've got an NFL-type receiver that went for about 160 yards last week in Patton. So, you know, I think the tempo bothered us. Now, against Western Michigan, who also tends to run a higher-paced offense, we shut them down, held them to minus 6 yards rushing. Against an overmatched Charleston Southern team, we shut them out. They didn't get close. I think they were 0-13 on third down. So it's dependent on the competition, but tempo's has given us problems this year, and you know, if I don't see another team that does that, that'll be fine with me, because that was, you know, those two teams really moved the football in a hurry.
Yeah, basketball on grass is what we always refer to it as. I know you mentioned Jonathan Brown, who's probably one of the better weak side linebackers in all the Big Ten. What about the kid Monheim in the middle at middle linebacker?
Yeah, they really like him, and he's from Orrville, Ohio. He's a kid that, you know, I think the Beckman staff knew about just because they were in Ohio and from there coaching in Toledo, so they were aware of him. And they really liked him, and the more they talked about him and the more you saw him in camp, you're like, wow, this guy can play. You know, and as you know, those guys start out, I mean, they're kind of learning what they need to do, but some of them have great instincts. Some of them seem to know exactly where they need to be and whatever coverage they're in. And he was pressed into duty to start a couple of games ago when Houston Bates went down. And, I mean, the two plays into the game, he's got a pick. You know, he read the pass perfectly and then set us up for our first touchdown. And he's already racked up, a handful of tackles in just a couple of games. So they really like his the way he is as a freshman already. It's going to be fun to watch him develop into an even better player over the next few years.
Terry Hawthorne has had to fight some injuries in his career. But when he's been out there, how strong a cover corner is he?
Well, when he's healthy, he's one of the best around. Now he got beat a couple of times last week by Patton, who I think again is an NFL type receiver, and I don't think Terry's been 100% all year. So, but when he's healthy, he's as good as there is. He can run like a deer. He's tough. He was one of the, if not the top receiver in the country out of East St. Louis when he came in, and then Ron Zook, they switched him to the defensive side of the ball, and kind of like that Ron Turner did years ago with Kelvin Hayden, moved him over to defense. And, of course, Kelvin's had a pretty long career in the NFL at that spot. So I think Terry's got a real chance to be in the NFL, you know, next year and make some money. And he's really good. We just got to get him some help, and we got to get some guys healthy around him. Because, you know, sometimes you get your corners, what is it, Tim Beckman says, undressing your corners, and we got undressed a couple of times last week.
Finally, Brian, based on how the schedule plays out down the road in the Big Ten, give me an idea of the importance for Illinois of this particular one on Saturday.
Well, it's very important. I know it's important for Penn State. I realize there's no postseason implications for the Lions, as everybody knows there, but Illinois, you know, back-to-back bowl games have not been to three straight bowl games since John Makovic's era 20 years ago. And, you know, Tim Beckman's first year. And, you know, the Arizona State game was going to be tough. The Louisiana Tech game, you knew it would be tough, but you'd think you'd win it. You'd like to be 3-1 instead of 2-2. And now you're entering conference play. We're playing, obviously, Penn State Saturday at 11. You've got a trip to Wisconsin, which is never easy, as you know, and then a trip to Michigan. Back-to-back weeks, 2:30 in the afternoon Central Time on national TV. And so those will be big ones. And then a bye week, and then home at the end of the month of October as we return home. I think it's Indiana that's on the schedule. So the next 3 weeks are really important. And Tim Beckman's been emphasizing the Big Ten is the most important part of the year. This is why we're all here, to win a Big Ten championship, to compete. And as you know, with two teams not being eligible for Indianapolis, Illinois is in that mix with Purdue and so forth to try to, win the division. And, you know, to do that, they've got to beat Penn State, and that will not be easy. And so that's what makes it really important is for Illinois to take this game. And we'll see how they fare. But right now they need to win pretty badly.
Brian, my friend, it's always a pleasure, and can't wait to see you on Saturday.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. Always great to see you, and I'll tell Ed to save you a hot dog.
You and I both know there aren't any left.
No, you're right about that.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay. And that's Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football. We thank him for joining us today in the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. We'll go back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Welcome back. A few minutes left here in the Steve Jones Show. We'll open up the phone lines toll-free, 1-800-795-9565. The Lenape Solar Hotline again, 1-800-795-9565.
I know you. Sorry, I was talking to Dr. Ham at the moment. Sorry about that.
What is his doctorate?
What, he called?
I know, but what's his doctorate? Listen, I'll be honest with you. If Jack Ham called my cell phone,
footballology.
Yeah, if Jack Ham called my cell phone, I'd hang up on you too and answer it. So, I mean, I'm not offended at all.
Well, no, he called and. Do you know how many people? Do you know how many people have come up to me and said, "I want your cell phone"?
I can only imagine.
I want your contacts. I said, oh.
I can only imagine.
It's pretty extensive. Yeah. You want to talk to the, you want to talk about the United Football League? Let's see. I've got the strength and conditioning coach for the Virginia Destroyers in here.
Was that Ham again?
No, but that's the phone you guys put in here. Well, it's my interview phone.
You know what? Have you ever heard of the do not call list? You might want to put that number on it.
Do not call list.
It's probably somebody trying to call to see if you would like to consolidate your credit card debt.
That one dealt if I won the new co-host.
Well, you can let that one ring then, because there's no need to answer that.
it's like, okay, fine. But I think Brian gave us a pretty good rundown and read on Illinois.
Comprehensive is what I was thinking, yeah.
A lot of injuries. especially up front. I mean, the fact Graham Posick is normally the starting center is going to start a tackle in place of Thornton. That's what Jack and I were talking about. Penn State's about as healthy as they've been. I mean, they're about as healthy as they've been. I mean, everyone knows Paul Jones isn't with the team anymore. And I will tell you straight out, I don't know why. Dr. Wayne Sebastianelli, usually between he and I, we have, like, between he and I, we end up knowing everything. Like, I know a little bit of something, he knows a little bit of something, and we, you know, we have all the parts. Neither one of us knew last night. We're like, at least I don't know. He said, what do you know? He said, I don't know anything. He said, what do you know? I said, I don't know anything. So
next to Bill O'Brien, you two would be the one I'd get information from.
I mean, the two of us looked at each other, well, I don't know. We just know he's not there anymore. And Bill had said to the media, personal reasons, so it's personal reasons. So it's, but he's no longer with the team. Obviously, everybody will make a big deal out of it. This is unusual, though. I don't remember it combined. I don't recall combined in 30 years this many players leaving within the season.
Well, this has been a rather unusual season.
Right. I mean, I'm talking about during the season.
No, I know.
I don't mean in the offseason, guys transfer, decide not to take their fifth year, things like that. But not like this. Not like all of a sudden you show up and voila, they're not there. You know, it's different. I understand that. But they have a chance to win three in a row. I know Brian said that they can't play for the Big Ten championship, but you know what? You try to take little victories. The division championship's a little victory.